This is the NAB AFL Trade Radio Podcast. For NAB, supporting footballers from Auskick to the big time.
One man that has been involved since the beginning at Greater Western Sydney and is now at the club that he became a legend at, Carlton. He's the list manager of the Blues, Stephen Silvani. He joins us on Trade Morning. Stephen, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Sos, let's start, if we can, at Dylan Shiel. The reports as early as this morning are that he still needs another day or two to decide. Is that what you've been told?
Well, I haven't really been told that, but we're probably, I think, the three or four clubs that are in the race there have been told within sort of the next 24, 48 hours. So, so I guess we're like those other three clubs sitting there waiting.
Are you confident?
Confident? No, I just a little bit uncertain, to be perfectly honest. I know we've sort of put our best foot forward, and then it's about, if he does agree with us, it's about trying to do a deal with the Giants, because obviously he's contracted. So, look, I think we've put our best foot forward, and we'll see what happens.
You speak about your best foot, Sos. You also flew Dylan and his management up to Noosa on a private jet. Is that as far as you've ever gone in regards to getting a recruit to your club?
Come on, Mel. Don't believe everything you read.
Well, don't tell us the truth, Sos. Tell us the truth. What did you do for him?
Well, I thought you might have seen us fly out of Moorabbin on one of those Cessnas that used to fly over when you used to train at Moorabbin.
No insight, Sos?
No. I think it's a little bit overrated, to be perfectly honest.
If the Shiel conversation comes out in the next 24, 48 hours, as you mentioned, and it isn't Carlton, have you got a plan B? Are you working through a list of players?
Oh, not really. I think, obviously, we know what we'd be prepared to give up for him. So, and obviously, that'd be a fairly significant pick somewhere. But having said that, if it doesn't happen, well, you hold on to those picks and go to the draft, whether it's this year or next year.
Would there be any possibility that pick one would be traded this year, Sos?
Look, pick one's probably been traded, I think, only once in its history. So you would think it would be unlikely. But having said that, you just don't know what comes across the table. So, we'd like to keep going to the draft, which we have the last sort of 3 years, but you just don't know what may happen.
So in an ideal scenario, and I know we're talking about hypotheticals, but you could get Dylan Shiel and Sam Walsh in the same year?
Well, I wouldn't say we've really nailed down who's going to be number one yet either. So we've probably got a group of probably three or four players that would fit nicely around that number one. But look, our whole procedure really is have a look what draft picks sort of left, and then we'll have a look where they sort of sit. We're in terms of our war room back at the club where we have our players in positions, and generally we do the rating of our draftees once the draft once the trade period's over and done with.
So it's one player that you have got to your club in recent days is Andrew Russell, the head of fitness at the Hawks. Tell us about why you felt that was so important to be able to get Jack Russell from the Hawks.
To be honest, Del, I only got news of that on Twitter yesterday, so I don't know what the procedure's been there, and all I do know at the minute that Jackie's still contracted with the Hawthorn Footy Club, so I'm unaware of how that's all going to work, so I really can't comment on that at the minute. But look, obviously I do know that he's highly regarded in the industry and in his field.
Pretty significant weekend for the club. The best and fairest was held. Sos, Patrick Cripps is once again taking home the award. The top 10, Cripps winning with 166 votes. Cade Simpson, the Curnow brothers tying for third, which was a great story. And Dale Thomas, who had a really consistent year, finished fifth with 71 votes. But it wasn't just the best and fairest. Steve, you also announced two new captains in Cripps and Doherty. A pretty significant moment for the club.
Yeah, it is. It's the first time that we've had dual captains at our football club. Obviously, with Sam Doherty, didn't play all year this year because of his knee injury, but his leadership off field was second to none, outstanding character. And then you've had Paddy Cripps, who had an outstanding year and really led by his actions. So, look, they're two young two young men with great leadership qualities. So I think the club's made the right decision in importing those two boys. I mean, I think we all know now the role of the captain of the football club is not only just on field, but it's off field. And, you know, the demands put on captains now from a corporate point of view is very heavy. So at least those two boys now can carry the load equally, and not only on the field but also off the field. But they're two outstanding characters, and I think they'll be great assets for our club as captains, co-captains.
Sos, can you tell us about the process, about how both Doherty and Cripps were made to be captain, and the way that Mark Murphy took that news, or how he was told?
Yeah. Del, to be perfectly honest, I'm not too sure about the process of the captaincy. I wasn't involved in that, but I know Mark obviously has been captain for our club over the last sort of probably 5 or 6 years, and you know, has served us really, really well. So he chose to step down, and knew that the time was right for someone else to lead this football club. But in terms of the process of the co-captains, I wasn't part of that process, so I'm not too sure how that occurred.
Back to the trade table quickly, Steve. How do you get the Mitch McGovern deal done?
Look, we're in discussions with Adelaide at the minute. I think we're getting reasonably close to something. How that would look will remain between us and the Crows at the minute.
You've had a couple of run-ins with your counterpart in Justin Reid over the last couple of years. One involved Bryce Gibbs. It didn't get done 1 year and got done the next. So you're confident that they're not going to play hardball with Mitch McGovern?
I mean, obviously, I mean, look, Mitch is still contracted with the Crows, but look, good thing is, as much as people say, Justin Reid and I do get on well, you know, obviously he's trying to do the best deal for his football club, and I'm trying to do the best deal for us. So the good thing at the minute is we're both talking, which is a step in the right direction.
Tell us about the process. So you're turning up to Marvel Stadium this morning. How do you actually engage in these conversations, and do you speak with every club and therefore pull out the players that you are prepared to talk about from your club, but also source players from opposition clubs?
Look, I guess it's been a little bit different than what it has been in the past. I mean, the actual trade day is a little bit shorter. I mean, as you're probably aware, clubs have sort of gone well advanced in terms of talks with players and clubs. So obviously we have regular meetings throughout the year, and right at the minute we're probably getting together for about 3 hours where we can set up meetings amongst clubs. Now, will we meet every club? Probably not, but we might meet a handful, probably 4 to 5 clubs, as, you know, hopefully we get the chance to meet Adelaide today and a few other clubs as well. Generally the meetings are set up already, but we are a fair way down the tracks in terms of discussions about players and clubs as well.
Give our listeners a little insight, if you can, Sos. Who are the harder clubs to deal with? Who drives the hardest bargain?
Adrian Dodoro, no doubt about that. He'll hate me for saying that. He'll hate me for saying that.
Sos, will Alex Fasolo be at Carlton next year?
Look, we hopefully... you know, we may have some news there in the next sort of 48 hours, so we're still going through that process.
And just a last one from me before we get back to Dale in the draft. So you had to step away like you did a few years ago this year with your second son, Ben. Can you comment on whether he's a good chance at being picked by Carlton, or do you have no insight to that whatsoever?
Well, obviously, I've got a little bit of insight, but obviously haven't been part of that process at all. So, look, I guess you'll probably have to wait until draft night to see where everything fits. So you've only got so many picks in the draft and spots on your list. So until we actually finalise our list and know where our draft picks fit, we'll know a little bit more, I guess, within the next sort of 2 to 3 weeks.
So I just want to finish with a bit more generic. Can you tell us where you think currently the Carlton list sits in regards, I guess, to time and in their development phase, and therefore, as a strategy as a whole, what you and the recruitment team are thinking? Do you want young players? Do you need more young guys? Or is it now at the stage that you've got enough young guys that you need to bring in some real class?
I think a bit of mixture, to be honest. I think you've still got to bring young talent through the door. It's not as if you can miss a draft each year. I think generally if you miss a draft, it does hurt you. But we certainly have the understanding that we need to bring some ready-made players through the door at the right age, and not so much just age-based, but the players that we require in certain positions. So we're really happy where we're at in terms of our talent of young depth. Having said that, we've gone publicly saying that, look, we obviously lack a little bit of talent between that sort of 23 to 28-year-old age group, that area there. We're trying to address that. If it's this year we can address that, that's great. But we're certainly not going to be too keen to or make bold decisions to get those players through the door for the sake of our future, affecting our future. The deals need to be right. So, but look, we're really pleased with what talent we've got through the door. It's a matter of time before those young boys become men. And I've seen it happen at other clubs where you just need to be a little bit patient. And obviously it's been some hard yards this year that through, I guess, through injuries and a bit of form and whatnot, but we really struggled to get a consistent 22 players out there that played together and get that cohesion. So I think at times we played, we had 4 to 5 changes each week, and we played 16 to 17 plays in our back line. So we were, in terms of the steadiness and the continuity of the team and that cohesion, it certainly wasn't there this year, but we understand that we've done the hard yards for 3 years, and we can certainly see some really good growth in the next coming years.
Sos, we know it's a busy time of the year for you. Appreciate your time. We'll speak to you throughout the trade period.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having us.
Stephen Silvani there, Carlton legend and now the list manager of the Blues.